All right, good morning again, everybody. Come on, welcome to week number 4. And our You Asked For It series, glad to have you here. If you're here for the first time, we just want to welcome you. Glad that you are with us here today. And as we continue this series, just got 1 week left of this. Next week, we'll finish up this series. You don't want to miss next week. I told the others, I can't tell you why, but if you miss it, you miss it. But you don't want to miss the how we end this next week. And so a little anticipation, so you just have to be here. All right. But nonetheless, go ahead, grab your message notes. And we've been, man, just journeying along in this series. And I enjoy this series so much because it's things that you wanted to hear about, topics and stuff that you have asked for. And man, my prayer is that we are doing a good job helping to minister, but also helping to hopefully answer questions as well with this series. And today, I love what we're talking about today, and something that you asked for is actually number 2, the second most asked for from our survey that we did back in the Easter time, and that is on the topic today of purpose. Everybody say purpose. Yeah, purpose, something that is very near and dear to the heart of God and very near and dear to the heartbeat of this church, and that is to help people find and discover their purpose. And so, so important. I you know, it was last night after a tough Cubs loss, went to bed, and yeah, it's bad, isn't it? Lord have mercy. Anyways, we got a few Cleveland fans in here, but I'm a little jealous dealing with it, but I'll handle it. Anyway, but nonetheless, but I went to bed, and just before I went to sleep, you know, I was just talking to Bethany about today's message and just kind of sharing my heart. And man, I you know, this is so vital. You know, purpose is something that is so vital to your life and so vital to your journey. Because, you know, one of the things I said to her, I said, you know, we just, none of us in this room today, we don't know how much time we have left on this earth. None of us are promised tomorrow. Scripture makes that very clear to us. And if there's anything I've been praying so much about today, it's that this gets not in your head, but in your spirit. And that whatever it is that God is going to speak to you about in the next few minutes, I'm just believing it's going to be exactly not only what you needed to hear, but that something within your life relating to purpose and to destiny is going to jump alive in your heart in Jesus' name. And I believe there's two types of people in here this morning. I believe there's a person who's searching that out, trying to find and discover what that purpose is and what that looks like for your life. And then I think there's the other person that you know what your purpose is, but maybe you find yourself in a place that it's kind of been on a shelf and it's kind of collecting dust, and you maybe have felt like, man, I've lost passion for what I know I'm supposed to be doing. So I dedicate this message to you because I know God's going to speak to you, and I believe this is something that we live and breathe around here as the local church. You know, there's 4 things that we try to make real easy around here for people to connect with, and 4 things that we hope and pray that everyone that comes to this church and calls its home experiences these things. You'll see them in the hallways. We purposely have them out there because, my heart as your pastor is I want vision to stay in front of you. And so you know as a church where we are continuing to go. And the first one is know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and to make a difference. You know, it's the God's desire and heart for you and I that we would come into a relationship with him. But if you know God enough, and if you haven't, we're going to give you an opportunity later today, that his heart is not for you and I just to stay where we're at. He wants to take us from a place of knowing him to a place of discovering what freedom looks like. And to settling our yesterdays, maybe it's sins, maybe it's addictions, struggles that we all have. Man, you have a God that loves you so much that wants to bring freedom, everlasting freedom to your life. And listen, it can happen. You serve a God that makes that happen. And so his desire isn't that we just stay stuck at knowing him, doing church, and call it a day, but he wants to take you to in a place of finding freedom, then to discovering your purpose, discovering your why and why you exist on this planet, and then taking that and then going and making a difference with your life. So we just try to be real simple with that today. And so this message today is going to be a little bit different. To be honest with you, it challenged me because I wanted to make sure that man, I'd try to do a good job of just bringing some things together to help us on the journey of purpose and to get us there and to help us to get to where God wants us to be. I want to share a story that I think it's kind of a little cute story, and I think it kind of makes a real impact here with us this morning. A few years ago, a woman by the name of Adelina Dominguez died in San Diego, California. But what made her death very noteworthy is that according to the Guinness Book of Records, she was the oldest living American at the time. She was 114 years of age. Come on. She outlived all of her children and even some of her grandchildren. When she was asked the secret of her longevity, the Associated Press reported that she gave all the credit to God and to his plan and to his purpose for her life. Quote, she said, "I knew God had a purpose for my life." Come on, how many want to get at the end of your days and say, man, God has a purpose? Amen? How many want to live to 114? Amen. All right, about half of you, all right? Man, I'll take it. Come on, somebody. I'll be in the Guinness Book of World Records. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For everything, absolutely everything." Everybody shout everything.
Everything.
Good job, church. "Above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him," in God. Ephesians 1:11 says it this way: "It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone." Finding your purpose only comes by knowing Jesus, only comes by having a personal relationship and being committed to him and to who he is. So I want to just kind of start out this way in your notes if you're following along. Two challenges I think that we face in this life as it relates to purpose, and how do we grow in it? How do we find it out? What's it all look like? And how do we do things God's way and not do it our way? Amen? How many want some help on that? All right, so jot these first couple thoughts down. First of all, number one, the first thing we got to do is find ourselves. And how do we, and this is how we do it. Finding yourself is by discovering your purpose and figuring that out for your life. The Christian life, we have a saying around here in our church that the Christian life will never make sense until you find and discover your purpose. So discovering your purpose is going to be so important. So finding yourself, and then here's the second thing, jot this down, is then to lose yourself, losing ourselves. And we lose ourselves when we find out what that purpose is, and that purpose becomes bigger than us. And your purpose is always tied. Everybody say it's always tied. It's always tied in making an eternal impact. Think about it this way. Everything that God wants you to do, everything that God has for you to do, is always tied in making an eternal impact and making a difference in the life of somebody else. So how do we do that? How do we find ourselves? How do we lose ourselves? I love what Jesus said here in Mark chapter 8, verse 34. It says, Jesus called the crowd. So he's bringing everybody together. He's calling everybody. It's the crowd, the disciples. He said, y'all bring it in, bring it in. Got something to say. He said, "If any of you want to come to me," he told them, "you must forget yourself, carry your cross, and follow me. For if you want to save your own life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for me and the gospel, you will save it." Now, I kind of grew up knowing this verse and repeating it, reciting it a lot. And sometimes when you see, you know, that part of this verse of carrying your cross, for some, we think, man, that's a heavy thing to do, man. I just, you know, just a heavy thing. I don't know if I can do this, and how's this going to look? But I just want you to kind of see it this way this morning. That cross that you're called to bear is part of your purpose, is part of your assignment. And with whatever that is in your life that God is saying, I want you to clench onto that and what he's given you to do, and then go after his cause for his purpose in your life. And so it's something to be embraced, and his plan and his purpose for you and what he has for your life. So how do we find ourselves? I want to spend a few minutes talking about this. First of all, jot this down, is we have to discover our purpose. And I'm going to share a couple things here with you this morning that's going to, I think, help fuel that, help give you an opportunity to make the decision, to be real intentional about this too. Jeremiah 29:11. It says this out of the Amplified: "I know the plans and the thoughts I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." So we're just going to leave that verse up there for a second, but here's, I just want you to think about this. And I want you to take this verse real personal. Because when you woke up this morning, here's the cool thing about God. Man, he was thinking about you. He was already thinking about you. When he created you, guess what he did? He created you with plans and expectations in your life, that he sees greatness in every single one of you, and he's got strategic things that he wants you to accomplish on this side of eternity. So every single one of us in here, none of us are an accident, that God created and made us divinely. And think about it this way, that we were placed here for such a time as this in 2016. There's a reason why you're still breathing air this morning, because God's not through with you, right? You didn't wake up dead because God's still got a plan for your life. I mean, thankful for that next breath, amen? And so he saw, and this is a part that it just blows my mind about who our God is, because he sees in 2016 every single one of you. And he sees that in this time and in this generation that you were called to make a difference now with where we're at today, in this hour, in this year. Come on, and for where we're going. You know, we only get one shot at this life, gang. Yeah, we only have one life. You can spend your life any way you want, but you only get one shot at this thing. And I don't know about you, but I want to make sure, man, I'm dedicating everything over to God and doing it his way. And a big part of that is you discovering what your purpose looks like. And so here's kind of how I want to say this verse to you in Jeremiah 29, how many appreciate, man, when you get an unexpected text and somebody just says, man, just thinking about you. I just love you, appreciate you, praying for you. Those kind of texts mean a lot. I think they mean a lot to you. And, you know, I had one of those this past week, a spiritual father in my life, Pastor Dino Rizzo, just out of nowhere. I mean, Bethany will tell you, it was like a little schoolboy. I was like, oh, look who it is, you know. It made me feel so good. And then it did, you know. But here's what I want you to know this morning. I want you to receive this verse as God's text to you today. That God loves you, that he's thinking about you, that he's got plans for you, and he's got a pretty awesome future in front of you and a hope, and you can trust in him because he loves you. Amen, everybody? Amen. So two questions to help us find out our purpose. Number one, jot this down. What am I passionate about? What are the things that I find passionate, that I'm passionate about? Passion, I believe, is often linked with purpose. And we are created and wired where passion really and purpose come together, because if you find out your purpose, you should be excited about it. You should have some passion behind it. I even realized today that some of us just need our passion just revived again and to kind of get back in whatever it is that God has called us to. Passion is this, jot it down, the great energizer. I believe passion helps to create momentum. When you are a person that's passionate, you love what you're doing and making a difference. And so when you find purpose, you'll experience passion. And once you have passion, you're going to experience that momentum, that energy. And so, but here's the other side of passion that I just kind of want to caution you on, is that sometimes we get passionate about a lot of things. But how many know that you may be passionate about a lot of things, but not gifted in a lot of those things? You know, the thing I think about, my little analogy for you this morning is, how many ever seen American Idol? Right? And of course, you know, it's like no more now, right? I guess it's done. But in the good old days is when I like to watch it, but back in the day. But one of my favorite times to always watch that was in kind of the first few weeks. Because y'all know what I'm getting ready to say, because some of y'all have seen it. That's auditions, man. People are acting crazy. And how many know people are passionate about singing, but they're passionately bad at it? You know what I mean? And so it's like, man, who lied to you and told you you were good? You know what I'm saying? Like, I should have saved you from national television exposure. Like, if it were me, like, man, with all love and respect, listen, we'd have a little sit down. Like, I know you love to sing, and I think it's great. But, man, you don't want to take that stuff on national television, bro. Like, you want to just keep that at home. You know what I'm saying? Like, just keep it. Love you. That's love, man. That's honesty. That's why you have relationships in your life that are honest, not impressed by you. Amen, everybody. All right. But let me also say this, that it's why we have our growth track, to help people understand. You may be passionate about something, but it's important to know whether you're gifted in it or not. And so with our growth track and what we do, and we took this today off, so we start it back next Sunday. I'm telling you, this has been, the last couple months, one of the best, just not only attended, but just some of the best times of growth track. We have had so many people figuring out their why, because they're discovering their gifts. I think we'd have a lot less frustrated Christians if we would help people discover their purpose and discover their gifts of God in their life. You know, there's a stat, Barna Research Group, 87% of Christians in this nation do not know their gifts or their purpose. So it is the responsibility, and it is, of the local church to help people and to have an assimilation, to see people learn their gifts and then step into purpose and have the opportunities to do so. That's why I love what's happening around here with our dream team. Everybody that's serving on Sundays are serving not because there's a need, they're serving in the area of their gift because they went through that journey of growth track and figured out, man, this is where I'm supposed to be. Because how many know, if you don't want to teach kids, we don't want you teaching kids, right? And so you need to find where you're gifted, and that's what we try to do a good job of and get connected. Amen, everybody, all right? Here's the other thing passion does is it sets us apart from others. Man, I just dig getting around passionate people. There's nothing like, come on, grabbing some coffee and talking vision. I know, I said, man, that's easy for you. You're a pastor. No, man, I just love when people dream. I love to sit at the table with people that are dreaming about their business they're getting ready to launch. I love it. I love that people have that gift and that entrepreneurship and do that, or whether it's an organization or a ministry. It fuels me. And I think passionate people are so important because we have a society and a culture that I think has become more and more apathetic, more and more just settling for the average or the status quo. But see, once you discover your purpose, your passion follows your purpose. And that purpose distinguishes you. It sets you apart. And so I was thinking this week, just about passionate things in my journey, in my personal life and walking things out. And for some of you that may not know my story, at the age of 9, man, God spoke to me that one day we'd move to this city, launch a church, and make a life commitment to this city. I know, pretty crazy for a 9-year-old kid, but it happened to me, and it's my story, all right? And so, but I was thinking so much about it, about passion. And so I want to show you, this is a little throwback Sunday, all right? So I'm going to have a little fun with you this morning. So this is me. Yeah, I was like a pup here, man. I was a college pastor, and I was ministering at a conference for our students, and that is kind of like a preacher pose, isn't it? But nonetheless, passion. And I'll tell you something, when I was a boy, I would be at home, and this is kind of what I would do as a kid. I'd be in the house preaching, you know, and this is kind of what was in me, is passion and knowing the purpose. I just always wanted to grow and try to preach well, you know, and wanted to help people and serve people. And so I remember even some of my times I would preach in the shower. Some of y'all sing in the shower. I preach in the shower. That's what I did. And I got out of that shower, and my brother used to make fun of me. He'd say, man, who are you talking to in there? I said, I'm preaching. Leave me alone, you know. And so my mom would leave, and then once she would leave for work, I'd be in the living room preaching some more. I'd preach to the couch and the recliner and declare them saved in Jesus' name, you know. So I just started practicing, you know. And so, but passion. And I just love getting around people that are passionate about God and passionate about what it is that God has placed within their life to do. And so go to the next picture. So this was in Northwind Middle School. I was thinking, man, nobody came to your service. That's so sad. Well, actually, this was the pre-setup, so relax, all right? And so this is our first Sunday morning at Northwind Middle School, and we were setting it up. And, man, we prayed all over all those chairs because we knew God was going to bring people through those doors that day. And he did. And so the next one. That's me and Bethany. There we go. Greeting the people. Amen. Our first Sunday. But go ahead and go to the next one. See, the chairs got filled. Some of y'all got word. Felt bad for us. I appreciate it. But people came. Thank God. And I didn't know if anybody would show up. And we just, you know, came and trusted God. And, you know, when we moved here, we just moved on purpose, for his purpose. And we moved specifically because we knew God wanted to do something incredible in this city. And I will never forget this day. This day is forever etched in my heart. Because I'll never forget that cafetorium that we did church services in for a while. Y'all, what do you know about some cafetorium services? Come on, only us. That's our story here at Elevate City, all right? But that's where we came from. And then God took us on a journey, and we didn't last in that cafetorium long because we had a fire marshal come and kick us out. And so, about 2 months in, we had to find another place to call home. Not good for a new church plant. And so we found another facility. And in this other facility that we found, go ahead and go to the next one. You know, this place is uglier than all get out, to be honest with you. But and we didn't really know if God wanted to move in this place, but he did. And we got in there, and it was vacant. It was nasty, but we cleaned it up, and God provided a home. But let me say something, that in the midst of this, week three of this church, we went from that first service, 150 people, 10 people gave their hearts to the Lord. Amen. Man, like, glory to God. That's amazing for the first service of a church. Like, wow. And then by week three, through the great gifting and teaching that I demonstrated, we grew it to 45. Amen. So, and I was freaking out, be honest with you, parts of me. But then the other part of me, purpose, passion. And you know what? We were excited about this place. Even though I don't like the way it looks, we still got excited about it. We got passionate about it because we knew what God had called us to do. And, you know, and through the short 4 years of this church, it's taken a lot of passionate, amazing people to help see this all possible. And so this week, I was thinking, I was passionate about bringing people there. I was passionate about bringing people through those doors of my friends and family. And even within our first year as a church, we averaged about 55 to 60 people. And we were passionate. And we never let it stop us. Because you want to know why? Because we knew God, and still know to this day, has a plan and purpose for this church in this city. And we're just in the beginning of what God is going to do. And I cannot wait to see what's going to happen next. And now we're here, but this is not where we're going to be, everybody. So don't get too comfortable. I don't like this place that much, but we're here for a short time. All right. I'm just kind of laying it out there this morning with you. I know, just talking it out. You know, we're at three services. We got to figure out what we're going to do next. I don't know yet. That's why you need to pray for me. All right. Passion, here's what I know, isn't always reasonable, but you do it anyway. Passion isn't always possible, but you trust God and have faith that it can be done anyway. Passion will take you where nothing else can take you. Listen, here's what I know. Maybe you're in a place, you say, man, I don't have a big dream. Not yet. God can still speak to you. Here's the other side of it that I know, that I believe there might be even some people here today that maybe you don't have your own big dream, but it could be because God has someone for you to join and to help them fulfill their dream. Biblical principle, it's a biblical principle, and the one I want to give you is the one in your Bibles where Jesus, he was on the shores of Galilee, they're walking, he sees two fishermen out in their boat, and he said to them, come and follow me. He said, because I'm going to make you fishers of men. And you know what Jesus did in that moment? He gave two guys a dream. He gave two guys a vision and a cause to go after. And sometimes, here's what I know, God has people that he literally designs to come along and to complement each other so that a dream can be fulfilled. Teamwork, I love it. John Maxwell saying, teamwork makes the dream work. Everybody say, teamwork makes the dream work. For some people's purpose in their life, it's to come alongside somebody else to complement them, to add value to them, to do something for someone that they could never do on their own. Every great person is great because of the God they serve and Jesus and the people that surrounds them and supports them. David would have never been King David without a Jonathan in his life. It was Jonathan who helped not only rescue but protect the call, the cause, the dream, the anointing on his life. Another man that was very close years later in David's life was a guy by the name of Abishai. It's a pretty cool name. If you want to name your kid that, there you go. Abishai is pretty cool. Anyway, but his purpose was as he led the military army for David. And he came to a place where he recognized his leader, David, was becoming tired and weary because he was constantly going out to war. and he could see the weariness on him. And so it was Abishai who spoke up. He said, David, he said, man, we love you, we respect you, but you can't keep going on. Like, we need you. We need the direction from the Lord and what he has, and we got to protect you. And so we're going to go out and fight. The Bible says, because if not, the light of Israel will be quenched. So we've got to protect what God has placed. You know, I think about Moses. Moses wouldn't have been a Moses without an Aaron or a Hur next to him to lift up his arms and to help accomplish something great. But honestly, that would have never happened without his father-in-law, Jethro, to give him the wisdom in order to have relationships and delegate. It's relationships, it's people, it's team, it's work. That's what happens to see things accomplished. And I'm telling you, some of you may be doing it right now on the job, at an organization, maybe already doing some of these things, and maybe you're not recognizing it, but maybe you are now. Maybe you're starting to see that purpose. And I know for our church here, this church is not built on the gifts of a few, but the sacrifices of so many people that happen, not just on Sundays, but through the week. Here's the second question you got to ask yourself is, what are my gifts? When God created you, he gave you spiritual gifts, spiritual strengths to help you to fulfill the purpose in your life. So when you find your gift, this is the fun part of the journey. You'll be good at it. Jot that down. Because you're growing it, it's part of what God has placed in you. You have an opportunity to use it. And then you'll be energized by it. You'll be encouraged by it. Here's what I know. When I'm in the area of my weakness, I notice I get tired a lot more. I get tired and I get in a place where I am weary. But when I'm in the place of my purpose, or I'm in the place of my passion, here's what I know and I understand. It energizes me and it fuels me. Amen, everybody? And so I'm energized when I see, man, people that give their hearts to Jesus on a Sunday morning. I'm encouraged by that. I'm encouraged when I see people go to a growth track to figure out what the purpose is, what the dreams are. I'm encouraged so much by that. I'm also encouraged when we see new leaders start to arise in their place and walking out God's plan and purpose in their life. And then here's the last thing that you'll be able to do from that, from understanding your gifts, is have the capacity to develop it. So you'll grow in it, you'll flourish in it. So how do we lose ourselves? I want to give you the last couple minutes of this, and how do we do this? First of all, give your purpose, and this is what you have to do, something bigger than you. Give your purpose to something that is bigger than you. When you make the decision to give your life to something bigger than you, Jesus said, you'll lose your life when you follow after me for the sake of the gospel. So when you are bigger than your purpose, jot this down, you have a career. All right, let me kind of explain that. People that find themselves in a place that are bigger than their career are always looking out for themselves. How can I advance? How will I achieve? Bigger than their purpose. But jot this next one down. When your purpose is bigger than you, you have a calling. Losing yourself is when you get a calling, because your calling, you understand, is bigger than you. I love what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48. Very simple verse. He just said it this way. He said, I want you to be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. How many know, if you were just to take that verse and not do any study, that kind of seems like a tall task, doesn't it? Man, be perfect. Woo, Lord, I think you got the wrong brother. But that word potential in the Greek is actually the word, and here's what that word perfect means in the Greek. It literally just means to rise to your fullest potential. God is saying, I want you to take what I've given you, I want you to rise. I want you to come up, and I want you to achieve the fullness of the potential that I placed in you. I want you to accomplish that. I don't want you to sit on that. Maybe if you're kind of if you like science in school, you kind of dig this and maybe remember this. In school, they taught us the difference between potential energy and kinetic energy. Potential energy is stored energy, all right? It's stored energy, like a bomb that is waiting to go off, all right? You with me so far, all right? And then kinetic energy is energy that is in motion, and that is when the bomb actually goes off and it explodes. Here's what I know. Every single person in this room is full of potential. Look at the person next to you. Tell them, you are full of potential. Come on, let them know. Tell the other person. All right? Full of potential. But here's the key, guys, is we never fulfill our purpose until we step into motion to fulfill the plan and the purpose that God has on our life. Can I tell you something today? Can I tell you where most of the potential is at today? Most of the potential today, let me tell you where it's at. It's in our graveyards. It's in our cemeteries. People die full of potential. People die full of dreams. People die full of vision. So in order for us to go from here to there, it's going to take forward motion. It's going to take us being intentional about figuring out, God, what is it that you want to do in my life so that I can go and accomplish and make a difference with my life for the glory of God? I've been excited to share this story with you guys, something cool that happened in our family. My grandmother, she just turned 84, and I lost my grandfather a little bit earlier this year, and so she's at an assisted living place where she was with him, but since he's passed away, she's trying to figure out life now, and 84 years of age. And so I have visited her. She's in a place just outside of Kokomo, and I have visited her, and we've chatted, and we've talked. And of course, every time she talks, she likes to know what God's doing here, and man, what's happening at the church. She's always praying for you guys, you know. But we always just talk about the Lord and just whatever's on her heart, you know. And so, but she has been stirred because she was like, and she's told me, honey, I'm 84, but I'm not done. I said, well, come on, Grandma, talk to me. And she said, I got to figure it out, don't I? I said, well, you're still breathing, right? She said, yes. I said, then God's still got a plan. She said, I got to figure it out. So some time, you know, last month or two has went by. My mom was just with her here recently, but she called my mom up. She said, Sherry, she said, you guys at church there, Fort Wayne Elevate, she said, y'all have them small groups, don't you? Works well, doesn't it? Mom said, yeah, Mom. She said, well, I'm starting me a small group right here in the assisted living place. Yeah, I'll check this out. 84. Come on, man. 84. Come get you some, Grandma. That's what I'm talking about. And so she met with the director, and she's doing, you know, the collaring thing. I guess it's real popular right now, and mapped it out for the director. And the director said, man, it's great. Go ahead, Margie. And so she said, okay. Well, they went ahead and paid for all the books and all the collaring, you know, things for her and everything. Just blessed her and gave it so she can start it. And so she's doing her collaring, and she said, and I'm praying with them too. I'm praying with them and for them. So my mom visited the other day, and she said, Cher, don't forget, small groups Friday night. I'd like you here. Come on, 84 years of age. She made a decision. I'm not done yet. Still breathing. God's got a plan and a purpose, and her passion is following her purpose. Come on, at 84. Come on. I said, Grandma, you ain't retiring. You refiring. Come on, girl. So I'm talking about. I love it. Drop these last few thoughts down. And by the way, Grandma, we love you. She's listening. We give you a shout out. We love you so much. You're awesome. Success is when I add value to myself. But significance is when I add value to others. You'll find yourself in success, but you'll lose yourself in significance. Here's what I know. The cause is greater. And our why, when you find that why, you figure out, this is bigger than me. And when you find your why, listen to me, when you find your why, you find your way. That's why it won't make this journey won't make sense until you do that. So, you know, I've had a few people in the short 4 years that we've been a church here ask me this question. They say, you know, Kyle, do you ever plan on retiring? And at first, I just kind of got my thought, man, why are you asking me? You know, you want me to retire? You know what I'm saying? I didn't know really how to take that. So I just answered, and I said, I just told him, I said, listen, I have no plans ever. And they looked at me. I said, because what I'm doing, this is not a career. This is a calling. Amen, everybody? I didn't move my family to Fort Wayne for a career with hardly any money. We moved because God had a purpose. We stepped out in faith, didn't know what would happen, We just chose to trust God and trust in His plan for us. So my passion follows my purpose. When I feel it or not, my purpose is still the same. So I made a decision. I'm just going to live until I die, and then I'll hang it up. That's my thoughts. To me, listen, we got to be careful, especially telling our students, our young people this. I think it's ridiculous to tell people to follow their passions. I do. I think we've got to help people follow their purpose, help them figure it out. It's why we do our growth track, to help people discover, because your passion, listen to me, always follows your purpose. Find your passion, but teach your passion to follow your purpose. Amen, everybody? And I'm just telling you, it's going to help you. It's going to help you in the journey. Acts 10:35 says this, it makes no difference who you are, where you're from. If you want God and are ready to do as He says, the door, look at here. The door is open. God's saying, it's up to you. Quit waiting on God. Start taking the step. Forward motion. Amen, everybody? Take the step. Listen, that's why you got to be careful. You can be passionate about a lot of things. Passion can take you from relationship to relationship, from job to job. But when you find and discover your purpose, your passion follows that purpose. Man, I just pray this gets in you today. And so my prayer is that it's time to get our passion back. Come on, it's time to figure out purpose and get our passion back. For some of us, come on, next week, you need to get in growth track, find, discover that purpose, and let's go, baby. Get ready for one of the greatest rides of your life, because God's going to take you on one. And for some of us, we need to take whatever it is that we've shelved, that purpose that we've thought, man, I don't know if it's ever going to happen, not sure, and it's collecting dust. But God's saying, I want you to take that off the shelf, and I want to revitalize passion again in you. Passion. You know, these guys, when they come up and worship, Cody's a good-looking guy, isn't he? All right? He's married, though, all right? But let me say this. Let me say this about this team. They don't do this just for passion. They do this for purpose. They understand their purpose, their why. They realize their why is bigger than them. And so that's why they're in here early, 7:30. They're on this stage ready to go. Why? Because they're waiting to minister to you and me. That's their purpose. That's part of what God has put on them and the earth to do. Come on, I'm telling you, there's nothing like when you find and discover that purpose. Life's going to make a lot more sense. Amen, everybody? Come on, bow your head. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you today for purpose. I thank you for your plan, and it's awesome. Lord, you said in your word today that you're thinking about us. You've got awesome plans for us, and we're excited about that. But God, I'm praying this morning for some of us, God, that are trying to figure out this God thing and this passion thing, that God, that we would heed this word today and take some steps of forward motion. For some of us to see potential and purpose come and become a reality, so we know where we're going and what we're doing. Lord, we know passion can take us from place to place, but what we need is, God, that we're asking, reveal purpose. So Father, I pray over different ones that are figuring this out, and even those that are saying, man, I've just kind of shelved that. I'm asking, God, that you rejuvenate them today with passion, that they become passionate about your name, passionate about the purpose that you've placed deep within their hearts to do. And so, Father, we just ask you today, God, would you do it? Would you move in the heart of every single person? Dreams yet to be revealed, God. Purpose. God, there is world changers in this room, in this church. There's people that are going to leave this church and start great churches, start great ministries, start great businesses, great organizations. It's in them. It's in them. So, Father, stir the dreams in them, God, and let them see that you are right next to them, Lord. We thank you. And, God, and I thank you for those that you have called to serve alongside others to help see dreams reality. Lord, that's not a second-place gift or purpose. That is vital. So, Father, I pray that they realize the importance of the call of God in their life and helping to achieve and helping to see dreams become a reality. It's amazing. We thank you for it. Just remain, if your head's bowed, if you would, please, your eyes closed just for this moment. I just want to ask you this morning, just me and you, just for a minute, that your first step of action, if you don't know the Lord, is coming into a relationship with Him. If you're here today and you say, Kyle, I realize that's my first step. I need to step into a relationship. I need to make Jesus the Lord of my life. Come on, if that's you, in just a moment, we're all going to pray. I'm going to give you an opportunity here before you leave to do that. Please don't leave without doing that. I'm telling you, God's going to do something. Maybe you've even been at a place that you were running with God. You're not even sure what happened, how you got where you're at. It doesn't matter. What matters is this moment. You say, man, that's me. I need to recommit. I need to jump back in with the things of God. Come on, all over this room, with every head bowed, all eyes closed for this moment. That's you. Come on, don't hesitate. Lift up your hand just right where you are. Say, man, that's me. That's me. You're talking to me. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Come on, anybody else says, that's me. That's me. Just real high, real quick. Come on. There you go. Proud of you. Awesome. Gotcha. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Gotcha in the back. Yeah. Awesome. Gotcha. Amen. Amen. Now we're going to pray all of this together, and I just want you to join with me. Come on, church. Let's pray together and just say this. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. Thank you for loving me. Today I give you my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of my past. Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for purpose. Reveal that purpose to me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now listen, before we do anything, listen, there's a lot of people for the very first time that just raised their hands, church. I think we need to get behind them and celebrate them. Can we do that today? Come on. Awesome. For the very first time. Very first time. It's awesome.